is a secret weapon, but I call it true prayer. And then the theme that we are going to see running through this lecture would be winning the battles for good in a troubled world. So C.H. Spurgeon wrote, prayer pulls the rope down below and the great bell rings above in the ears of God.
I like that.
Some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so languidly, meaning weakly. Others give only an occasional jerk at the rope. But he says he, but I said he or she, who communicates with heaven is the man or woman who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with his or her might. So then my question to you then is, how would you describe your prayer life? Have you experienced the power of prayer in your life? How do you engage the Holy Spirit when you pray? How often do you listen when in prayer? See, Paul encourages us as we end the study to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And so my prayer and my aim is that we will be persuaded that true prayer is the powerful weapon of choice in winning the battles for good in our troubled world. And so in our outline, I have three divisions for our outline and just for this verse. And so we will look meaningfully at what it means to actually pray in the Spirit. And then we would ponder over Paul's warning to be alert. And then we will end with that question of why are we called to pray for the saints? Why pray for other believers? So if you haven't done so, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and we will begin. So have you ever wondered the right way to pray? Like, who should you be praying to? God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? I mean, who are you addressing when you're praying? You know, and when can I pray to Jesus Christ? So I used to wrestle with these questions even when I was in the middle of a prayer. Yeah. And I would be like, oh, am I praying the right way? You know, and for a long time. But the wrestling did not stop me from praying, right? But many times I wondered, was I addressing the right person of the Godhead? And I would even pray and ask God to teach me who it is I have to address when praying specific prayers. Now, of course, I know the Lord's Prayer, right? We all know the Lord's Prayer. But when I am not praying the Lord's Prayer, who should I be addressing? And then one time, while I was reading and meditating on this particular verse of Ephesians 6:18, I began to wonder if I also address the Holy Spirit in prayer. And how do you pray in the Spirit? And the Lord answered my prayer with a succinct quote by Samuel M. Zwemer. He's an American missionary who was born in the mid-19th century in Michigan. And he wrote, true prayer is God the Holy Spirit talking to God the Father in the name of God the Son, and the believer's heart is the prayer room. I thought, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the light bulb just went on. Yes, for me too. It was like, true prayer is God the Holy Spirit talking to God the Father in the name of God the Son, and the believer's heart is the prayer room.
It's the prayer
room. That's your war room. True prayer is God the Holy Spirit talking to God the Father in the name of God the Son. And your heart, my heart, are the prayer rooms, the war room. Prayer is talking to and with the Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the other thing is this to note is this. We do not just talk to him, we also listen as he talks to us. Because yes, he does speak. But what happens is that many times we go to God in prayer. And we pray and we tell him and we speak and we tell him of all the things and guess what? And this is how I feel. And really, Lord, this needs to be done. Preferably soon. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And you stand up and you go. And I always visualize God's left over there going, wait, I wanted to say something. I wanted to respond to you, but you're way gone. And sometimes my mother also used to say how you'd bring the file folder to the Lord with all your issues and you give it to him and you say, here, Lord, thank you. This is my prayer request. And then you say amen, and you stand up, and you take the file folder, and you walk away. The Lord is like, wait, why are you not bringing that to me? But isn't that what we do many times? Mm-hmm. We speak, we talk, and it becomes a monologue. And then we stand up, and then we leave. But he speaks. And he wants us to be quiet, and then hear him respond. So Paul begins this passage on the armor of by highlighting the importance of depending on God's strength in battles against our enemy, the devil, and his forces of evil. And we are called to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then Paul ends this passage in verse 18 by revealing the power behind that strength. It is because of this divine supernatural power that we can firmly stand our ground. The armor we wear in battle is of no use if we do not have true prayer. Prayer is the deadliest arsenal, spiritually speaking, that we can use against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm, as we read in verse 12. So true prayer, praying in the spirit, shakes the gates of Hades, bringing victory in the battles for good in our troubled world. So again, what is praying in the spirit? What does that prayer look like? And how is it different from the other prayers? And I like what Diana says, and I agree with her when she says that praying about praying in the spirit, which by the way, in its original text, was not praying, the original text reads as praying in spirit, not in the spirit. Praying in spirit. And she says praying in spirit is the prayer prompted and inspired by the Holy Spirit as we make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives. It means to be united with Christ and then to allow the Spirit of Christ to lead us in prayer. And the question then, that follows would be, why should I allow the Spirit to lead us or to lead me in prayer? Well, it's because we want to pray in harmony with the will of God. But most of the time, we do not know what the will of God is, right? We don't really know. And how many times do we pray, thy will be done? When in really, honestly speaking, if we were to be really honest with ourselves, what we are really saying is, may my will be done, not necessarily his will. And so prayer in the spirit is prayer whose supreme object is the glory of God, and in a secondary sense, a blessing for ourselves or for others. But our natural tendency, like I said, is to be more concerned about our own interests and our own glory. And this is our weakness. But Paul was very much aware of this weakness. And so he wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. In order to pray according to God's will, you and I have to engage the Holy Spirit, who knows God's heart. And then here's another secret of the weapon of true prayer. We as believers have the aid of two advocates. And these two advocates continually make themselves available and plead our cause. The first advocate is Jesus Christ. God's Son intercedes for us before the throne of God, securing for us benefits of his in his mediation work for us. And we read that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1. Is Christ advocate in our hearts to meet our deepest needs, as we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. See, weakness and inadequacy in the art of prayer are not surprising to God. He gave us the Holy Spirit to instruct, inspire, and illumine our hearts and our minds. So praying in the Spirit is praying along the same lines, about the same things, and in the same name as the Holy Spirit. So why does God want us to learn the discipline of true prayer, praying in the Spirit? Well, because God loves you dearly, and he actually listens when we cry to him. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 9 says, "Lord, the Lord answers when I call." This is Isaiah saying, I'm quoting here from verse 9. He says, "The Lord answers when I call. When I cry for help, he will say, here am I." And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says that we should not be anxious of anything, but in all situations, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. When we learn how to pray in the Spirit, we come to God without hesitation of whether he will hear us or even respond. And there's a level of freedom that can only be experienced by those who have actually developed this intimate relationship with God. So when you have this kind of a relationship with him, it means then that you trust him, you respect him, and you adore him. It's like being with a very close friend whom you can tell anything and everything without the fear of being judged, right? And you know that the counsel or the rebuke you get from him, from God, comes from a place of deep love for you, wanting the very best for you. Again, Diana points out in Ephesians 6:18 and suggests that the secret of intimacy and effectiveness in prayer is praying in the Spirit. This is a prayer offered from a heart committed to God's will and filled or yielded to to the Holy Spirit's control. Again, this can only happen if we abide and stay connected to the true vine, as Jesus teaches us in John chapter 15. Now, we are not only prayed all the time, and we read in the Gospels of how he would withdraw often to lonely places to pray. Sometimes Jesus would take off at night to pray because the whole day had been spent meeting with people's needs, and he would retreat. And sometimes we are told by the gospel writers that Jesus would actually pray all night. So I was thinking about this. Jesus praying all night. And I imagined his time of prayer clearly was, and it's definitely not like mine, because I have a time limit. I used to tell God, you know, here on earth, there's only 24 hours. 8 of those you're sleeping, another 8, and more than 8 you're working. The other 8, you're kind of resting. So we have a time limit. But then look at Jesus. He would go all night and he would be praying. How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend with God in prayer? You see, he was not just talking to his father. The father was also talking to him. They probably probably God was telling Jesus what a great job he had done that day. Restoring his energy, they were hanging out together, right? He would be encouraging Jesus' spirit as they talked about the needs of the people and their lack of understanding of the treasure that was before them. They probably laughed and cracked jokes. Yes. God cracks jokes, and he is funny. He is funny. And so, you know, they enjoyed each other's company. Now, if you have a close friend, and you know that you do get together sometimes you know, few times you are able to get together, you talk for hours and hours on end, right? If they come to your home or you go out someplace, you can talk the whole night about endless topics, right? This was Jesus' relationship with the Father. The question is then, as I was asking myself, do I desire to have such a relationship with God? Have you experienced that sweetness in spending time with God? Or do you just state your needs and then say amen and then you leave, like I had said? See, it's not about obligatory prayer in order to check a box. Praying on all occasions means having that constant awareness of His presence. It can be during regular prayer time, that awareness of His presence, those designated times of during the day when your mind is intentionally focused on God or focuses on God. And that is like for a meal. I remember studying this and being told, you know what, the reason why that people started talking about having to stop and pray before you eat was just to allow you to stop and refocus on God, because you're working all day, you're busy all day, your mind is on other things, but you take that time, that moment, to stop and acknowledge God. Or it can be when you're driving. And I've said this a number of times because I am sometimes on 495 or 395 and someone cuts you on in front of you. And do you choose to pray that they get safely to their destination? It could be an audible corporate prayer in church or with a prayer group or with a friend. It can be an emergency prayer when a crisis suddenly develops or a situation where that has a potential to escalate and you have to respond. You're in the middle of a conversation and it starts escalating and the question is, can you start praying right as the person is getting very emotional before you start getting really emotional and begin praying so that your mind then gets refocused on God? Those are like the quick, silent, and brief prayers before a situation is unfolding. Prayer in the Spirit is limitless, it is freeing, it is healing and calming. As God helps us, or the Spirit helps us, to talk to God about everything. And we can see that in Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 6, or Philippians 4, 6. True prayer is a powerful weapon of choice in winning the battles for good in our troubled world. All right, let's look at being alert. So Paul interrupts this thought of true prayer and calls us to be alert. You see, we can also get so caught up in our prayer time that we forget that the enemy is prowling around. He's walking around looking for someone to, getting ready to strike, looking for someone to strike. And we're told that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. And he warns us, be alert. And of sober mind, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Do not let your guard down. Understand that as you engage in true prayer, you are demolishing the works of the enemy. Your prayers are shaking the gates of Hades. And that is a declaration of war for Satan and his evil forces. So be alert. I mean, have you ever observed that after a wonderful time of prayer and worship and fellowship, you get these attacks that come from nowhere, out of the blue, or so it seems. Someone throws a nasty word at you as you are minding your own business, perhaps in a grocery store. You have no idea why or what you did wrong. Or you get home, or someone was passing you on the road, and they flip you, and you're like, why? And then, or you get home safely, and as you walk into the door, everyone is yelling, and their tempers are flaring, and then soon you become the object of their outrage. See, sometimes for me, what happens is when I'm about to study the Word of God so that I can teach, or that I am going in, you know, getting ready to pray, I get this dull and impatient mood. I start feeling down, and it will come over a period of days, especially because I'm a fan and I have things planned out, and I feel down and like some kind of sadness, and for no reason. And just the subtle or overt ways that the enemy will start attacking you, looking for little ways to steal your joy and your peace, that peace that is settled within your spirit. And he will try to sully your spirit and tempt you even to sin in various ways. Actually, Matthew chapter 6, verse 41 says, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Satan knows our flesh is weak, and he will target our flesh. He will even target our egos, and he will try to engage our pride. Recognize the enemy, and then blow his cover with scripture as you pray in the spirit. The Spirit makes us watchful and persevering in prayer. We are soldiers in God's army. Brave, powerful soldiers do not quit. They do not sleep or get lax while in battle. Because yes, the enemy will do anything to keep us from praying. He will come after us to distract us from praying. He will even cast doubts about our prayer. So be alert. Recognize the signs of the enemy. Trust the armor of God you have in place and the power in you of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. See, again, we are in battle, but we also know that we are on the winning side. So praying without ceasing, as we are encouraged in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17, which says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. True prayer is the powerful weapon of choice in winning the battles for good in our troubled world. So let's end with the question about why do we pray for the saints? Well, the Holy Spirit enables us to see the battle, the spiritual battle between Satan's forces and the Lord's forces for good, which includes every believer in the world. He enables us to see that. And we are one body, one army in Christ Jesus. We are called to be always praying for the saints. And this is the last call in this verse 18. Praying for other Christians. When we pray for other Christians, it keeps us from solely focusing on our own struggles and our own concerns. We are called to lift other believers throughout the world or that are suffering or undergoing the same kind of suffering, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 9. So how often do you pray for Christians in your neighborhood, in your church, in this country, or in other parts of the world? Perhaps in your church you do pray for missionaries on a Sunday morning. Well, how about Monday, Tuesday, or the rest of the week? Do you remember to pray for those missionaries? When we listen to the news, like the sufferings in Ukraine or in Syria and in Turkey, and now recently in Ecuador, these are the big news items making the headlines. When we see the suffering, we feel sorry for the people and we may pray and even send donations to help them. But how often are we praying for the Christians in those areas and pray that even in the midst of their chaos and the suffering that they would be a testimony to those who are around them? See, they need us to stand with them so that they, after they have done everything, they would stand. I saw a story of an evangelical pastor in Ukraine, it was in the news, who is taking bread to these bombed out areas where some of the people are still living, a few people are still living in their bombed homes, and most of them are elderly people. And he gives them bread and then he prays with them. And this pastor was wearing combat gear like a soldier. And I was thinking, he truly is a soldier in the Lord's army, winning the battles for good in his troubled country. Now, there are Christians suffering in other parts of the world that do not make headline news, right? There are those indigenous people, probably in the Amazon, who I was reading about, who being taken, their land is either being taken from them or they have foreigners coming in and with diseases and killing them. And But then you also have the missionaries who are there, who are trying to protect them, but are being attacked. They're opposed to these people, to these communities, but are being attacked by these other people who will come in and try to take parts of the land. How are we praying for them, for these missionaries, to stand firm against the powerful forces and companies who try to block them from taking, whether it is medicines or even the word of God, to these communities? You can pray for the saints in the Seychelles Islands in the Indian Ocean. This is a stunning part of the world. And right now, there's really, it's horrible to think about what the stuff that's going on. That young population in the islands there are being killed by a heroin addiction. And it's now the largest. And it is so rampant. And nobody's really talking about it. We can pray for the believers in these islands to stand firm against illegal importation of heroin as they pray and serve the young addicts. The Spirit of God will move unhindered, bringing salvation in Christ Jesus in those areas. Pray for the Christians in Ethiopia and Eritrea as the church is under attack on various fronts, that the saints will boldly let their light, the light of Christ, shine in them, even at the risk of being killed. Let us also think about praying for those among us who have loved ones in other countries. And I'm thinking of Betsy, whose son, Frazier, is, and his family are serving in one of the oldest mission hospitals in Kenya. I mean, these are saints, believers, we are called to pray for and stand with. We stand with them in winning the battles for good in our troubled world. So who is the Holy Spirit bringing to your mind that he wants you to begin praying for consistently? Well, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. That's what we're being called to do. So in closing, again, I'm going to ask you the questions that I had asked right at the beginning. How would you describe your prayer life? Do you scarcely stir the bell? Are you jerking that bell very weakly? Or do you occasionally jump that bell? Or at the rope? Or do you grasp the rope boldly and pull continuously with all your might? Andrew Murray wrote that the intercession within is as divine as the intercession above. So stay close, in close communication with the command center. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, thank you so much for inspiring Paul to write this letter to the Ephesians, and particularly for us today in this passage from chapter 6. You, Holy Spirit of grace and supplication, are the only secret of a real prayer life. Order our prayers in your word when we pray, so that it is in accordance with your will. Thank you for the divine power in true prayer, so that in Christ's name we trample our foes as the psalmist prayed. We know that the weapons we fight with are not carnal weapons of this world, but have divine power to demolish strongholds. So this day we demolish arguments, we demolish theories and even pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and subject it to the authority of Christ. Fill us and empower us, Holy Spirit, as we fellowship in our discussion groups this morning. I pray this in the name of the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.